السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
Can we go on now, إخوة؟
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari رحمه الله أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل, we are on hadith number 260. And that occurs under Babu Tahabbi Bainan Nas. Babu Tahabbi Bainan Nas. The chapter about mutual love amongst the people and understanding. The chapter discussions regarding mutual understanding amongst the people and love. The chapter regarding mutual understanding amongst the people and love. The last chapter and a group of discusses were about consultation amongst Muslims, asking for help, asking for guidance, asking for advice amongst ourselves and guiding our brothers to that which is right. The next chapter is about mutual understanding and love amongst us Muslims. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Babu Tahabbi Bainan Nas. The chapter regarding mutual understanding and love amongst the Muslims. The narrations that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has placed under this chapter, he has discussed with them three aspects of this issue. The first of them is the importance of mutual understanding and love amongst Muslims. Mutual understanding and love amongst Muslims is so important. We'll be starting Ramadan anytime soon. If there is no mutual understanding and love, how does the fasting go? You will see from the very beginning, like when he spoke about starting the month, he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, as-sawmu yawma yasumu nas. The day of fasting is the day that the people are fasting. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tasumu, do not start fasting. Likewise, when he spoke about observing the salah, he will say, akimus salah. All of you should observe the salah. All these are issues that are communal. Allah has placed worship for us to be something that we do with the rest of the people. You cannot observe Salatul Jama'ah alone. One single individual, no matter how knowledgeable you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how well known you are, no matter how vast your house is, no matter whatever you have, you cannot alone be Jama'ah. You cannot alone make Salatul Jama'ah. You need the people. This goes to make us understand that we need the rest of the Muslims to practice a lot of the aspects of our Islam. You need brothers, you need sisters, you need your wife, you need your children, you need your relatives, all together as Muslims. So, but you will not be able to keep a relationship with them except that there is mutual understanding and love amongst you. So the importance of mutual understanding and love amongst the Muslims will be highlighted in this discussion, inshallah. Likewise, asbabuhu, how do we achieve that understanding and love? What are the things that we must do if we want to mutually understand ourselves and love ourselves as Muslims? What are those things that we need to keep to? What are those things that we need to be doing as Muslims to be able to observe Salah together, to be able to observe fasting together, even Zakah? You alone cannot be the one giving zakah, and at the same time you are the one taking the zakah. It is not possible. You can give, but you can't be the giver and the taker at the same time of your own zakah. So we always need the rest of the people. You cannot observe Hajj alone as an individual. You have to do that with the rest of the people. So this deen is a deen that is legislated and approved for people as a group. You always have to be with the rest of the Muslims. For that to be, then you need mutual understanding and love amongst those people. Otherwise, it will be difficult for you all to establish your deen and has been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are those things that we need to be doing that will help us foster that mutual understanding and love amongst ourselves? And the third thing that this chapter will discuss are those things that destroy mutual understanding and love amongst the people. Those things that destroy them. They poison the minds of the people. When you do them, you will not be able to stay in Salah in Jama'ah. We know communities where Imams will be appointed for the Muslims, and at the same time that he will be afraid to come in front of them to lead them in Salah. In many Yoruba communities, an Imam will be appointed, and he will be afraid to come in front of the people. This one happens a lot, especially when there is a Tosu level who becomes Imam. This kind of a thing happens, so he will not be able to lead the people. And sometimes he will be able to lead the people, but the people will not be ready to pray behind him. Why? There were things that had happened in the community that had destroyed the mutual trust and understanding amongst them and mutual love amongst them, and has placed that community in a disarray. So when that happens, then the communal aspects of our worship, which forms the bulk of the worship in Islam, like Salat, like fasting, like Zakah, like Hajj, and the rest of the other aspects of our deen will fail. We will not be able to establish our deen if we don't foster mutual love and understanding amongst ourselves. So what are those things that destroy mutual understanding and love amongst the people? These three issues, the importance of mutual love and understanding, those things that foster mutual love and understanding, and those things that destroy mutual love and understanding, bismillah, will be highlighted under this discourse, bismillah. Hadith comes under Babu Tahabi Bayna Nas, the chapter about mutual understanding and love amongst the people. And that occurs as Hadith 260 in our book, Al-Adabul Mufrad, by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. He said, حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلُ إِبْنَ أَبِي أُوَيْسٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي أَخِي عَنْ سُلَيْمَانَ إِبْنِ بِلَالٍ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِبْنِ أَبِي أُسَيْدٍ عَنْ جَدِّهِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُسْلِمُوا لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تسلموا ولا تسلموا حتى تحابوا وأفشوا السلام تحابوا وإياكم والبغض فإنها هي الحالقة لا أقول لكم تحلق الشعر ولكن تحلق الدين. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Shaykh Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. We had read a number of ahadith from Al-Imam Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. And we know Al-Imam Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, his name actually is Ismail ibn Abdullah ibn Uwais. Ismail ibn Abdullah. His father's name is Abdullah ibn Abdullah. We are coming back to that because he has reported this hadith from his father. His father, Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Uwais, was a very learned person in Medina. And he had a son, Ismail. Ismail also had a brother whose name was Abdul Hamid. We are coming back to that also. So Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, rahimahullah, he is the maternal nephew to Al-Imam Malik. We repeated this a number of times. Al-Imam Malik is the elder brother of the mother of Ismail. So he is a maternal uncle to Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. Al-Imam Malik, Imam Dar al-Hijrah, is the maternal uncle to Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. So you can see this Imam, rahimahullah. And Ismail ibn Abi Uwais was also a scholar of Qira'at. He was also a scholar of Qira'at. He was amongst those who took Qira'ah from Al-Imam Nafi. Not Nafi, the scholar of Hadith and Fiqh that was well known in Medina, who is the teacher of Al-Imam Malik. But this time we are talking about Nafi in Qira'ah. And he was also from amongst those who taught Al-Imam Malik Quran. So Imam Malik had two teachers who were Nafi. One of them was a scholar of Hadith and Fiqh, and the other was a scholar of Qira'at. Ismail ibn Abi Uwais was from amongst those who learned the science of recitation from Nafi. He was very lucky, fortunate, rahimahullah. He has an uncle who was very learned, Al-Imam Malik. He had a father who was very learned, Abdullah ibn Abdullah al-Madini, ibn Uwais. He had a brother who was also very learned. And he learned from amongst the most learned people in Medina, Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, rahimahullah. He is reporting from his brother. He said, Haddathani Akhi. His brother was Abu Bakr ibn Abdul Hamid ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdullah ibn Uwais. He is Abdul Hamid ibn Abdullah. Don't forget, Ismail is Ismail ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah. It means his father's name was Abdullah. His grandfather's name was also Abdullah. This is very common in the history of Islam. A man will have a child and name his son by his full name. You can be Ibrahim, you name your son Ibrahim. You can be Abdurrazak, you name your son Abdurrazak. You can be Abdul Fattah, you name your son Abdul Fattah. A woman can be Fatima and her husband agrees to name her daughter by that same name. This is common in the history of Islam amongst the scholars of Islam. So here, Ismail ibn Abi Uwais is Ismail ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah. And so his brother from whom he's reporting this hadith, the name of his brother is Abdul Hamid. So he is Abdul Hamid ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah. Abdul Hamid ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Uwais is the brother of Ismail ibn Uwais. And he is also the sheikh of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais in this hadith. So Ismail ibn Abi Uwais said, Haddathani Akhi, is reporting from his brother Abu Bakrin. Abdul Hamid ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Uwais, who is reporting from Al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Bilal. Sulaiman ibn Bilal, rahimahullah, the scholars have mentioned him and we have read a number of ahadith from him. He is Abu Muhammad al-Qurashi. Sulaiman ibn Bilal, he is Abu Muhammad al-Qurashi. He was from amongst the Berbers, Kana Barbaran. He was from amongst the Barabira. That's a tribe that was common in North Africa at the time. Wakana Jamilan Hassan al-Hay'a. He was well known to be very handsome and good looking, rahimahullah. Wakana Akilan. He was well known with deep intelligence. Wakana Yufti Bilbalat. He was also known to be from amongst the scholars of Fatwa in Medina. Rahimahullah wa kana thiqatan kathir al-hadith. He was a well-known, upright, learned person in Islam, kathir al-hadith. He was busy with the science of hadith. He was busy with reporting narrations from the Prophet Muhammad, from the teachers from whom he had learned. And he reported a lot of ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa salam. That was Sulaiman ibn Bilal, the teacher of Abdul Hamid, the brother and teacher of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, who is the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. Now Sulaiman ibn Bilal has reported this hadith from Ibrahim ibn Abi Usaid al-Barrat. Ibrahim ibn Abi Usaid al-Barrat. He is generally also referred to as Ibrahim ibn Abi Usaid al-Madini. He is also from among the scholars of Medina. Al-Madini here is an ascription also to Al-Madina. Yes, the well-known al-Mashhur أن النسبة إلى المدينة بحذف الياء. What is well known is that if you ascribe to Medina, the person is referred to as Al-Madani, but he may also be referred to as Al-Madini. Some of the scholars have been ascribed to Medina with the inclusion of that ya, so they used to be referred to as Al-Madini, like Al-Imam Ali ibn Abdullah ibn al-Madini. His relatives were referred to as Madini, and it was in ascription to Al-Madina. Dr. Bashar Awad Ma'ruf, in the second volume of his check-in on Tahzib al-Kamal, he gave these points of benefit where he spoke about Ibrahim ibn Abi Usaid al-Madini. Ibrahim ibn Abi Usaid is also from Medina, but he used to be referred to as Al-Madini, which showed that it was also allowed to give that ascription. So sometimes instead of saying Al-Madani, it is also allowed to say Al-Madini, according to this Imam Rahimahumullah. So Ibrahim ibn Abi Usaid was reporting from his jadd. He was reporting from his grandfather. The ulama say both Ibrahim ibn Abi Usaid Wajadihi and his grandfather, not much is known about how well they are able to preserve ahadith. But Ibrahim ibn Abi Usaid and his dad, not much is known about them. This will make us want to say, is this hadith now weak? This isnad of this hadith has people whose status in terms of their ability to preserve reports is unknown. But the various aspects of this hadith have been verified in other ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we shall also refer to as we go on trying to explain the hadith. So most of the scholars have said that this hadith is hasanun li ghayrihi. Some even say that it is sahihun li ghayrihi. It is a hadith that is sahih because it has corroborating evidences. There are other expressions from other ahadith with other chains of reports that makes us understand that this hadith is sound. So in it, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, and in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qal, is reporting it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he said, والذي نفسي بيده لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تسلموا ولا تسلموا حتى تحابوا وأفشوا السلام تحابوا وإياكم والبغضة فإنها هي الحالقة لا أقول لكم تحلق الشعر ولكن تحلق الدين. Messenger said alayhi salatu wassalam, wallazi nafsi biyadihi, I swear by the one, nafsi biyadihi, the one in whose hands is my soul. The messenger was swearing alayhi salatu wassalam. Ulama say li bayani ivamil amr, he wanted to make us understand how significant what I am going to say now is. So it is lawful for us, oh brothers. You want to say something very important. Nobody asks you to swear. And you say, Wallahi. And then you say that point. For example, you want to affirm to a person that if he observes his salah Allah will be merciful to him, so he can say, Wallahi, my brother, if you observe your salah regularly, Allah will be merciful to you. So that kind of an expression is lawful. They have not asked you to swear, but you are swearing, libayani ibni al-amri. You are swearing to make the person understand how mighty and significant what you are saying is. For example, someone asks you about a person, maybe a woman to marry. He wants to marry a woman, and he says, please, are you sure what you have said is right? Say, Wallahi, I do not know anything about this woman except goodness. Why are you swearing? You want him to know the importance and the significance of that expression that you have said. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that people will swear, will be swearing at the end times, wala yustakhlafu, and they have not been asked to swear. That does not mean you swear all the time. You want to say, can you kindly get me a cup? You say, Wallahi, can you get me a cup? Wallahi, can you get me my shoe? Wallahi, can you get me the key? Wallahi, can you prepare my bed to sleep? You say that to your family. Let's not be people who swear all the time. Because the Quran also discourages that. It says, Wala tuti kulla halafin mahin. Don't follow the one who is halaf. He's also swearing all the time, he's swearing. Likewise, it is prohibited, and from the aspects of major sins, for an individual to sell his product by swearing. Wallahi, it is 10 naira. Wallahi, it is 5 naira. And it might have even been a lie that he was lying. So let us be careful about our making oaths. Wahfazu aymanakum. Be careful about making oaths and swearing. But if swearing will make your listener or your son you are speaking to, your brother you are talking to, your friend you want to recognize the significance of a particular point you want to make, and that makes you say, Wallahi, this matter is like this, then that is lawful. Even though they had not asked you to do that, if you do it, you have just also followed another sunnah of the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So here, the messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose heart is my soul. This also makes us understand that Allah has yet, is mentioning one of the attributes of Allah, that is in Allah's essence, one of the attributes of Allah's Zat. One of the attributes of Allah's Zat is that Allah has hands. And the Quran mentions it to be two. Allah says, Bal yadahu mabsutatan. When the Yahud, the Jews, were abusing Allah, they say, Yadullahi maglula. The hands of Allah are tied, referring to stinginess. Allah says, Gullat aydihim. They are the ones whose hands be tied. Allah says, Walu'inu bimaqad. They were cursed because of their abuse of their Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, Bal yadahu. As for the two hands of Allah, they are wide open. Allah gives, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has hands. There are many other verses and ahadith that affirm these attributes of Allah. So the messenger will say, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي, I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul, and the soul of every one of us is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul. لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تسلموا. يعني لا تدخلون الجنة. You will not enter الجنة. لا تدخل الجنة حتى تسلم. It's also allowed in Arab. You can make half of that noon. And if you say لا تدخلون الجنة, you are also correct. You also find that in some reports. So لا تدخل الجنة حتى تسلم. لا تدخل الجنة حتى تسلم. You people, you cannot enter الجنة حتى تسلم. until you have accepted Islam. Brothers, sisters, go and note it. If you love your friend so much, if you love your brother, if you love your mother, if you love your father, your uncle, anybody, and that person is not upon Islam, start encouraging that person to be a Muslim. Because if that person dies as a non-Muslim, he will burn in the fire. La tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tuslimu. No one, you people, all of you, wallahi, the Prophet swore, alayhi salatu wassalam, I swear by Allah, la tadkhulu al-jannah, the people will not enter al-jannah. No one will enter al-jannah. Hatta tuslimu. In the report of Al-Imam Muslim, in his Sahih, he says, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. So no one will enter Al-Jannah until he accepts Iman. حتى تؤمنوا بالله وحده. Until that person believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He believes in Allah's rububiyyah and in the details of the belief, the foundations of the belief of Islam. He will enter Islam. يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَيَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He will affirm and testify that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone deserves to be worshipped. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his messenger and his servant. That's why in another hadith the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, la yadkhulul jannata illa nafsun mu'minatun. La yadkhulul jannah. No one will enter al-jannah illa nafsun mu'minatun, except a believing soul. If you love somebody, make them become Muslims. If the person passes away, if a person dies upon other than Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ, it will not be accepted of him. Because sometimes we find when a person dies, and the person dies upon other than Islam, you begin to find that people want to start saying, oh, it's my mother, oh, it's your father. In fact, from the sunnah of what you do to the corpse of a kafir is to say to it that أُبَشِّرُكِ بِجَهَنَّمْ, I give you the tidings of the fire. I'm sorry for you. Because the non-Muslim will burn in the fire if a person dies upon other than Islam. So don't start being angry with the people that, oh, why are you saying that you're born in the fire? Every person who dies upon other than Islam will burn in the fire. We noticed this when the man called Nelson Mandela passed away. Some Muslims want to start finding a way to justify, look for, as if they have one Jannah with Allah in Akhirah, that they want to put this kafir into. The man passed away as a kafir. لَمْ يَكُنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. He wasn't believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not a Muslim. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُسْلِمُوا. No one can enter al-jannah until he becomes a Muslim. He said, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You cannot get into al-jannah unless you are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا نَفْسُ مُؤْمِنًا. No one will enter al-jannah except the believing slave, except the believing soul. You cannot enter al-jannah. So if you love the man, if you love the woman, if you love the relatives, if you love the parents, behave like Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu. Abu Huraira paid a lot of attention to his mother until Allah helped him to bring his mother into Islam. He was running between the kafir or mother who will abuse the Messenger alayhi salatu and coming to the Messenger alayhi salatu until the mother accepted Islam. So if you want to love someone and you don't want them to end up in Jahannam, the way to help them is now that they are alive. Pay attention to them until you can bring them into Islam. Otherwise, when they die as non-Muslims, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْجَنَّةِ, Allah has prohibited that such persons will enter Al-Jannah. So don't have a beloved one who is a non-Muslim, and when the person dies, you begin to think that you have one miracle you want to perform to bring that person into Al-Jannah. Don't waste your time. The miracle you have, the effort you need to do is now making a lot of effort, making dua, making them read, making them watch videos, making them listen to lectures, making them do things that will bring them to Islam. And if Allah guides them to Islam through you, that's a big reward for you too. But that someone dies and you begin to think that that person, if he's not a Muslim, he can get into Al-Jannah, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wallazi nafsu Muhammadin biyadihi, I swear by the one in whose hands the life of Muhammad is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yasma'u bi ahadun min hadhihi al-umma, no one amongst the people that have been invited, that have been made to invite to Islam, no one, la yasma'u bi ahadun, no one will hear about me, Yahudiyun wala Nasrani, whether such a person was a Jew or that such a person was a Christian, if he hears about me, ثم يموت ولم يؤمن بالذي أرسلت به, and then he dies without believing in that I have been sent with, إلا كان من أصحاب النار, except that such a person is from amongst the people of the fire. Imam Muslim reported that hadith in his Sahih. So it is not a joke that someone is a non-Muslim and the fact that he will not enter Al-Jannah. And it is a thing of joy that bi-iznillah, once someone is a Muslim, it is from the means by which Allah will admit him into Al-Jannah. Even if he has iniquities for which he may be punished in the fire, the fact that he had believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a Muslim, believing in the foundations and in the aspects of the Iman as we all know it, from the benefits that he will gain bi-iznillah, no matter how little that Iman is in his heart, is that he will be brought out of the fire at the end of the day. So Iman guarantees someone entrance into Al-Jannah. And disbelief in Iman is one evil thing that makes the individual end up in the fire. May Allah protect us. Allah also said in the Quran that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who disbelieve, مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ, those are from أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, the Jews and the Christians, وَالْمُشْرِكُونَ, and the idolaters, these people, when they pass away, فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمِ, they are going to end up in the fire of Jahannam, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will be in that Jahannam forever. Allah says, Ulaika hum, these people are the very sharul bariya. They are the very worst of people walking on the surface of the earth. So this is the disposition of the Muslim to the non-Muslims. Unfortunately, we usually have apologetic, self-intelligent and self-important Muslims who wants to start looking for safe landing. They should also be careful because they have to believe that when a non-Muslim dies as a non-Muslim, as the Quran has said, and as the Messenger has said, we have read a lot of ahadith and cited verses of the Quran. These people are enemies of Allah, and they will end up in Allah's punishment in the Jahannam when they pass away without accepting Islam. Now, when a Muslim does not believe it, he is like them. From the things that destroy the Islam of an individual, from the nawakib of the Islam of the individual, is that man lam yukaffir al-mushrikeen, the one who does not consider the idolaters as non-Muslims, as idolaters, aw shakka fi kufrihim, or he begins to doubt, are these people that the Quran has declared as non-Muslims, who will pass the rest of time in eternity in the fire? Will it really be like that? When he begins to doubt this issue, it is from the things that destroys whatever Iman that individual may have. So we all should be very, very careful. May Allah protect each and every one of us. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means each of us too shall preserve his Islam. Preserve your Islam. Preserve your Islam. Don't do something that will expel you from Islam. if you do the things that expels a person from Islam and you become expelled from Islam, you are going to suffer this evil forever in Jahannam if you pass away without repenting and turning a new leaf. May Allah make those who have fallen into these kinds of errors, may Allah make it easy for them to repent and turn a new leaf. Every kind of occultic practice brings people into these kinds of things, making sacrifices, making occultic sacrifices, and all issues like this. I think sometime the evening Allah will find time to discuss those things that expel a person from Islam. But the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُسْلِمُ. I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ. None of you, no one, you will not enter الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُسْلِمُ, unless you accept Islam. وَلَا تُسْلِمُ حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. لَا تُسْلِمُ. You will not also rightly be upon Islam, hatta tahabu, until you all love yourselves, Muslims. You will not properly be upon Islam until you have mutual love and understanding amongst yourselves. We Muslims, we will not be upon Islam rightly. You will not be able to perform khamsu salawat. You will not be able to fast correctly. You will not be able to attain the levels, high levels of Iman. He said that to alayhi salatu wasalam. Says, وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. Your Iman will not be sound. Your Iman will not attain high levels and lofty heights. حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. Until you all mutually love yourselves, salat will be difficult. Let us remember what happened to the world in the COVID-19 shutdown era. We found it hard to observe salah. Even fasting was difficult. Every people found it difficult. No hajj, no umrah. Zakah was difficult. Think people were finding things difficult because people became disconnected from people. People became disconnected from people. So mutual love, connection, cooperation, being together is the main thing we need as Muslims to be able to keep up upon the major aspects of our religion. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wala tuslimu, in some reports it says, wala tu'minu hatta tahabu. The second report I read, la tadkhulul jannata hatta tu'minu wala tu'minu hatta tahabu. They are reported by Al-Imam Muslim and Al-Imam Tirmidhi. They are the supporting reports that I mentioned at the beginning of the class that yes, this is not this chain of reports that we have read today. There are reporters in it who are not well known, but that there are corroborating ahadith that affirm that this hadith is sound. And that hadith occurs in the Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim. Again, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul. لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُسْلِمُ. You cannot, no one can enter al-Jannah. You all, you cannot attain al-Jannah, حَتَّى تُسْلِمُ, unless you become Muslims, unless you clean up your Islam, unless you believe in Allah as He ought to be believed in. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَلَا تُسْلِمُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And your Islam will not be appropriately practiced. You will not be able to practice Islam properly, hatta tahab, until you mutually love yourselves. You will not be able to sustain your marriage. You will not be able to keep your home unless there is a tahab, unless there is mutual understanding and love. You will not be able to observe Salatul Eid. You will fight, you will quarrel. Even determining the Eid will be a problem to you. You will not be able to do a lot of things in your deen unless there is mutual understanding and love. This highlights the importance of at-tahabu bayna nas, mutual understanding and love amongst the people. Why? Our Islam will be weak You will not be able to even fight your enemies. You will not be able to go on jihad without mutual love and understanding. How do you face an enemy without love and understanding amongst yourselves? How do you do that? And Allah warned us against that. He warned us against not mutually understanding ourselves. And he said, فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. تَفْشَلُوا, you will lose and your strength will go away. So we need our strength together, and that will not be possible unless we all love ourselves, we all understand ourselves, we overlook the shortcomings regarding we, because you cannot also relate to people unless you find shortcomings. I wonder how you want to live in a community where there are people, everybody in that community is an infallible person. He never commits a mistake. But even in that, you overlook your mistake. You set aside the people's errors and you relate with them. Otherwise, it will be very, very difficult to establish the religion. It will be very difficult if there is no mutual understanding and love amongst the people. Establishing their deen will be hard upon them. This is the importance of at-tahabbu bayna an-nas, mutual understanding and love amongst the people. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by way of telling us, it's like you can say, okay, so now how do we foster mutual understanding amongst ourselves? Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa afshu salama tahabu afshu salam. Ifsha'u salam is izharu salam. You raise your voice. You say, salam, salamu alaykum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Unfortunately, in some parts of Southwest now, saying salamu alaikum now is a thing of abuse. Some people want you to say good morning or ekaro or inakwana. Instead of saying assalamu alaikum, which is a greeting that Allah has legislated for us from high heavens, He sent it down to us that amongst ourselves we should say assalamu alaikum. And it will be the greetings that we will receive, inshallah, when we enter Al-Jannah. And it will be the greeting inside Al-Jannah itself. The greeting of Al-Jannah is Assalamu Alaikum. Some people have turned it to a thing of abuse. They say, Assalamu Alaikum people. Awan, Assalamu Alaikum. Assalamu Alaikum people. As if to say Assalamu Alaikum is a thing of abuse. Hear it here. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam, وَأَفْشُ السَّلَامَ تَحَابُ. Spread the salam amongst yourselves. What will you gain? One of the things you will gain when you spread and announce Assalamu alaikum amongst yourselves is التَحَابُ بَيْنَكُمْ. You will have mutual understanding and love. You say Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. Allah, by your saying that, will make you love yourselves. When you see yourselves, you pray this dua, you make this dua, and you make this statement of guarantee of safety to your brother. Assalamu alaikum. This one happens a lot. I remember when I first got to a university in South, in Akwa Ibom, far away, very far away. I noticed that I was alone wearing a cap. So I was going around the campus to see. Well, that was long ago in 1992, 93. I was looking for someone who will wear a cap like my own, or a woman who will be wearing a hijab. So I was just trying to look for it. It was my first week on campus. I'm not an undergraduate. So I was looking for someone I can find wearing a cap. I saw someone far away, wearing what we will call cape now. Wearing what we will call cape hijab now, but on that occasion, it was like I was seeing the Imam of Masjidul Haram. I ran to that woman. She was a lecturer at the time. I hope she's still there till now, since 1993. She was a lecturer at the time. I ran to her to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, because I did not find someone I can say Assalamu alaikum to. because I was in a completely strange environment to Islam and Muslims. I was in a strange environment. So when you say salam, when I said assalamu alaikum, she was very happy. She almost carried me. She said, a student saying salam alaikum to her. That it was strange. Even though Muslim students are shy, they don't want to be recognized as Muslims. The first day I went on that place, when I picked up my kettle to make wudu, they were saying that I'm washing my body, Hausa, I'm going to Hausa mosque. So you can imagine if you're in a location where people refer to a masjid as Hausa church. I was going to Hausa church. I was going to Hausa church. So you can imagine how hostile and strange Islam would be. But as far as the Tafsir was concerned on that day, the woman, she asked where I was staying. She asked, you know, everything about, I was an undergraduate, fourth year in university, 1992-93. So she was the one who was trying to be sure that things got well for me at that time. May Allah reward this woman. I can't even remember her name because she was not a lecturer in my faculty at the time. But they were very good people, herself and her husband. The husband was an engineer at the time. I hope that they can hear me today and know that we really appreciate how kind they were to us in a community where Muslims and Islam were very, very strict, very strict. It was the time of some military administrators in Akwa Ibom at the time. We hardly found a place to pray. So I'm saying that when we say Taslim, Allah uses it as a means of binding us together, as a means of putting us together. We find security, we find a sense of togetherness, we find a sense of cooperation when we spread the salam. And the same thing, the Messenger alayhi salatu salam encouraged men, when you come into your house, say taslim, say it to your household. Some people find it hard. They come to the house, they expect their wives to beat them. You say taslim as you come into the house. The Lord ibn Masud, many of the companions used to do that. From the gate, they start announcing the taslim, salamu alaikum, salamu alaikum, salamu alaikum. So important. It is from the sunnah of our deen and from the things that it brings to us is what this that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to us. What does it do to us? He said, wa afshu salam. Spread the salam amongst yourselves. Tahabu, you will love yourselves. So this is the second point we sought to address today. Asbabu tahabi bayna nas. The reasons, the causes, things that bring about mutual love and understanding amongst the people. One of them is what? At-taslim. Saying the taslim. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. And so on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the other hadith in the report of Al-Imam Muslim, he says, awala adullukum ala shay'in idha fa'altumuhu. Should I not now guide you to something? When you do it, tahababtum, you all will mutually love yourselves. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afshu salama baynakum, awala adullukum. Oh people, listen to me. Should I not guide you to something? Iza fa'altumu, when you do that thing, tahababtum, you will love yourselves. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in response, afshu salama baynakum, spread the greetings of salam amongst yourselves. So one of the means of gaining mutual love amongst ourselves is what? Ifsha'u salam, spreading the salam, saying assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum amongst ourselves. Another thing the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had recommended, just by way of mentioning things that help us gain mutual love and understanding amongst ourselves as Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, giving gifts, exchanging gifts, exchanging gifts. When you exchange gifts, Allah makes you love yourselves. Because Arabs say that, jubilat nafsu antu habiba man ursina ilayha. The human soul is modeled such that to habibu man uhsina ilayha. It will love whoever is nice to it. So if you are nice to someone, he will love you. If you are nice to someone, he will love you. And that's why one of the means of corrupting people who are ordinarily upright is that you see people of evil begin to send them gifts. And that's why when the people of goodness also recognize that this person wants to corrupt me, they begin to reject those gifts. Because when you accept the gifts, Allah places the love of that person who has given you a gift in your mind. So if you give me a gift, I will love you. If I give you a gift, you will love me. So one of the ways to encourage mutual love amongst the people is exchange of gifts. Let it not just be one way. And we all already understand that gifts are not small. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. The Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام said, don't look down upon any goodness. Don't look down upon anything. I'll say, oh, this good one is small. Exchange. You give something. Give something. You take. You give. You take. You give. You will love yourself. So another way to love ourselves in the Ummah is that we exchange gifts. One of the ways is we exchange salam. Even merely calling the person, salamu alaikum. I have a brother like that. Each time he calls me, he's far away. He's living far, far southeast. South. When he calls me, he says, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. After taslim, I'll be waiting for him. He wants to say something. He said, I just said I should say taslim to you. We also remember in the hadith of Abu Bakr and Umar and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. When Abu Bakr came out to meet the Prophet, what did he say to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? I just want to come and see you, to say taslim to you. So saying the taslim is a means by which Allah causes, Allah brings about mutual understanding and love in the community of the Muslims. So exchange taslim. Say salamu alaykum. And that's one of the things the non-Muslims hate most about us. They hate us to say salamu alaikum. If you get into an office, you are looking strange. You can recognize someone as a Muslim. How do you feel when you say taslim and he replies? You see, it's like you are at home. You find yourself as if, yes, I have arrived. I'm at home now. So may Allah make things easy for us. If Sha'us Salam is a major symbol, it is from the symbols of our deen. Saying taslim, announcing it, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُسْلِمُ. I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul, you cannot enter al-Jannah unless you are Muslim. وَلَا تُسْلِمُ حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And your Islam will not be perfect and sound. حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. Until you mutually understand and love yourselves. وَأَفْشُ السَّلَامَ تَحَابُوا. Spread the salam. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum amongst yourselves. What will you gain? Tahabu. You will love yourselves. And that's why when two parties are at a quarrel, what is it that breaks the barrier of that quarrel? Assalamu alaikum. Someone quarrels with you yesterday night. You get to the masjid this morning, you saw him. Once you say assalamu alaikum, you don't even need to start yesterday, we disagreed over a matter. You said a word that I did not like. Once you say assalamu alaikum, it breaks the barriers. Assalamu alaikum is so important. Please say it, spread it. Say it a lot. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. It is dua. It is a prayer statement of guarantee of peace and safety from me to you. When I say it to you, it's a supplication from me to Allah to bless you. It's also a means of earning mutual love and understanding amongst ourselves. Then the Prophet warned us. We are the third part of the discourse now. What are those things that will destroy mutual love and understanding in the community? The Prophet warned us, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa iyyakum wal bughdha. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْبُغْضَ. Beware. Be careful. I warn you regarding what? Al-Bugdata. Mutual hatred. Hatred. Hating yourselves. Don't forget, when you hate yourselves, you are going to begin to have hasad. If a man hates his brother, if a good thing happens to that brother, will he like it? That dislike for it is hasad. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tabagadu. Do not hate yourselves, O Muslims. And then he followed it up and said, "Wala tahasadu," and do not mutually envy yourselves. Don't not hasad for yourselves. Don't hate a goodness that comes to your brother. Don't hate a goodness that comes to your sister. But the beginning of that is hating your brother himself or hating your sister herself. It is when you hate her, you now hate that anything good happens to her. And you're hating that anything good happens to him or to her, as the case may be, that is hasad itself. The precursor, the introduction to hasad is al-bughd. So that is why when there is al-bughd in the community, then the community will shred apart. So the Prophet warned us, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa iyyakum wal-bughd. Be careful. I warn you. I caution you. Avoid al-bughd. Avoid hate. Don't be a hater of your brother. Don't be a hater of your sister. Don't be a hater of your wife. Some men hate their wives. Some women hate their husbands. So when something good happens to the man, they don't like it. Some women hate, some men hate their wives. When something good happens, really good, something the Sharia considers good, happens to the woman, she gains a mercy from Allah. The man begins to feel uncomfortable. He hates it. Why has Allah blessed this woman with this goodness? These things happen. So when there is hatred, the imam will not be able to observe Salah in the masjid. He is praying. When he says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, his mind will tell him that the Ameen people are saying to him is not from their mind. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited a man from leading a people when those people hate him. If you are an imam, and you know that upon a right, upon something that Islam has allowed, the community dislikes that you continue as their leader, avoid it. The Prophet has prohibited you from leading them in Salah. I'm not talking about an issue that has to do with some conspiracy, some lies put together against the individual. There's a clear-cut issue, something you do in the Sharia, and that thing is not lawful in the Sharia. And regarding it, the people dislike you. Once it becomes clear that the people dislike you, avoid leading them in Salah. Don't lead the people in Salah when they dislike you as an individual. So this goes to make us understand that when there is mutual hatred, there will not be communal efforts. The communal efforts will be broken down because there is mutual hatred. Sorry to say, this happens a lot amongst the elites. One of my elders, who is a neighbor to me, he says, elites, when they live together, they are competitors. They are not neighbors. Competitors. So when one of the neighbors has something another neighbor does not have, the other neighbor is displeased with it. He hates it. So this kind of a mutual hatred. Now these same people come out together to observe Salah together in the masjid. How is that? Will that be easy? If they do it, they will only be standing together, but their hearts, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Allah says regarding the Jews, بَأْسُهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٌ. The hatred they have amongst themselves is very severe. تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا. You will think that they are together, new. You only consider them together. You are seeing them, they are moving together, they are friends, they are going forth and backward together. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. But their hearts are widely separated. They are against themselves. That's why there is hardly any time you don't find them in an argument. One of the symbols that two persons you see together perhaps hate themselves is that they are always ever arguing. They are always ever in an argument. They are always ever in an argument. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa iyyakum wal bughd, I warn you against hatred. Fa innaha hiya al haliqa. Because hatred, al-bughdatu, hiya al-haliqa, that is the actual destroyer. That is the actual, that is the real thing that destroys. هِيَ الْحَالِقَ. It is the real thing. Al-halq is to shave, like you have a razor blade. You can shave your head with a razor blade. You can shave with a razor blade. You can shave an animal that you slaughter with a razor blade. So that razor blade is a halika. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't think that I'm talking about shaving the hair. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, La akulu lakum tahliku sha'r. I'm not saying that mutual hatred will shave the hair of a person's head. No, that's not what I'm talking about. What will it do? Walakin tahliku din. What I'm rather saying is that the hatred people will have against themselves, tahliku din, it will destroy the deen of the people. When the people hate themselves, their deen is put into destruction. When the people hate themselves, their deen is put into destruction. So we must be sure, bi-idhnillah, that we do not hate our brothers, that we do not hate our sisters. No man should hate his wife. No wife should hate her husband. No brother should hate his brother. No sister should hate his sister. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُسْلِمُوا وَلَا تُسْلِمُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا وَأَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ تَحَابُوا وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْبُغْضَ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْبُغْضَ فَإِنَّهَا هِيَ الْحَالِقَةَ لا أقول لكم تحلق الشعر ولكن تحلق الدين. So I hope that this hadith is clear. The Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, والذي نفسي بيده, I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul, لا تدخل الجنة حتى تسلموا. You will not enter الجنة حتى تسلموا, until you accept Islam. وَلَا تُسْلِمُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. You will not also be upon Islam rightly, حَتَّى تَحَابُوا, until you mutually love yourselves. وَأَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ تَحَابُوا. Spread the greetings of As-Salam amongst yourselves. Allah will make you love yourselves. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْبُغْضَ. I warn you about hatred. Don't hate yourselves. فَإِنَّهَا هِيَ الْحَالِقَةَ. Because that is the destructive element itself. لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ تَحْلِقُ الشَّعْرِ. I'm not saying that, I'm not talking about something that removes the hair when I say حَالِقَةَ. That's not what I'm talking about. وَلَكِنْ تَحْلِقُ الدِّينِ. I'm rather saying that hatred will destroy your deen. May Allah protect us from hatred amongst ourselves. May Allah protect us from this evil. May Allah make us from amongst the people who will only love themselves for his sake. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that this hadith is clear. Today I think we can stop here so that we can attend to the questions that we may have. But I've been noticing very funny messages on the screen. The Abu Yusuf and the rest of the brothers should take care to remove those persons from the page so that they do not become a nuisance to us. If we have a few questions, we can take them, inshallah, and move ahead. Abu Yusuf.
نعم جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ
امين وانتم ابا عامر
سبب that we had some spams in the
نعم I noticed that
just have to look for the question because they disrupted the just a minute so
نعم
there's one who's asking me about
so I have a question here Assalamu alaikum. Is there any book written in English that we can encourage our family to read, especially about manas, unbelief? Yes, there are books we can read now. There is Riyadu Salihin, and it is one of the best books about the general life of a Muslim. Riyadu Salihin. Riyadu Salihin has been variously translated into English. Riyadu Salihin has been variously translated into English. If you say that after the Quran, one of the most popular book that the attention of the Muslims have been upon is Riyadu Salihin, you would not have heard. So look for Riyadu Salihin, it's in English. Now there are various commentaries and brief notes that have been placed on Riyadu Salihin by various publishers. There is recently the commentary by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Uthaymi. That commentary is very, very extensive, and as far as I know, it is the biggest commentary of that book, Riyadu Salihin. I worked on the translation with a second brother, and that book occurs in 6 volumes. It has been published by Darus Salam Publishers in Riyadh. You can get it. It's a very, very good book. You find the hadith, you find the explanation for the hadith. You can pick it one after the other, volume by volume, and you read it in your house. It's been published in the lab. You can search on the net in Google, Amazon, and in other Islamic bookshops that are around. Inshallah, it will be posted to you. There is also Al-Adab al-Mufrad. This book we are reading, it's in English already. I have worked on it. I have appended the ahadith that are sahih and those that are not sahih from the works of Al-Imam al-Albani. I have also tried to place brief comments after each of the hadiths by way of making it clearer. And it has been published also by the Dawah Corner Publishers in Malaysia. It's also available. You can search for it, Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. These are very, very, very good books that have been published, inshallah, about the general understanding of Islam, manners, attitudes, etiquettes, and the like of that. I hope that you find these books useful. Riyadu Salihin and this book we are studying here, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, they have been translated. And Sahih al-Bukhari too has been translated. You can go to Kitab al-Adab, the chapter on manners, and you can benefit from that. It also has some brief comments. I think these ones will be sufficient, inshallah. Aba Amir. Aminu antum. Aminu
ayyam. So what's the etiquette for spreading salam amongst young, unrelated, opposite sexes?
Well, we'll still be coming back to details about the rulings on At-Taslim in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. We'll still be coming back to details about the manners of Taslim, who has the right to say Taslim first, what is the meaning of Taslim, how did Taslim begin as a greeting, what are the expressions to say when you say Taslim, what should you not say when you say Taslim, can you say Taslim when you write a letter, and all these kinds of issues, we are coming back to them. But the question specifically is, how do you handle Taslim with the with a man to a woman, for example, or vice versa? Taslim is basically lawful between every Muslim. Except basically, Taslim is lawful. Every Muslim can say Taslim to every Muslim. Every Muslim can say Taslim to every Muslim. There are reports regarding this. We shall come to them in the last. Every Muslim, male or female, can say Taslim to every Muslim, male or female. Now, issues on fitan now comes in. If the person fears fitan from saying the Taslim to a female, or a female fears fitan from responding to the Taslim, that this person only wants to employ this Taslim as a platform to get to me. Maybe a female, she thinks that there is a male. Once he begins to say Taslim to her, and she's responding, he wants to use it as a means to get into her unlawfully. Then it is not lawful for her. She will not respond. She will not respond to the taslim, because she could notice the taslim is coming in a sense that does not carry the actual message of taslim. Otherwise, basically, every person can say taslim to every person and the taslim can be responded to, except when we fear that fitan can come from it, then we avoid responding to those taslims. I hope that that is clear, but Amen.
Yes, sir. Jazakumullah khair.
Amin wa antum.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Anyone says a question to someone you know to be a Muslim, but she refuses to respond because you do not belong to their sect.
Now,
does one need to stop saying taslim to her?
No, continue to say taslim. It's one of the ahadith that we shall read. If you say taslim to someone and the person does not respond to your taslim, maybe out of anger, we shall come back to that too in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Or maybe because the person considers you not to be a very good Muslim. Because there are people who go to extremes regarding these matters. Maybe because of anger, he's angry, you say taslim, he does not respond. That is the way to punish defaulters in Islam. That one is lawful. People who are engrossed in innovation, when they say taslim to us, we do not respond. That one is lawful. The Messenger alayhi salatu salam prohibited the companions from responding to the taslim of Ka'b ibn Malik and the rest of them who stayed back during the battle of Tabuk. That one lasted for about 50 days. They were under a punishment. The community said, don't say taslim to so and so, and don't respond to taslim from them. Even their wives were prevented from saying taslim to them. It happened to Ka'b ibn Malik. So that one is known in Islam. So it is from here that it is deduced. If you find a person who is engrossed in innovation, he abuses the messenger's companion, he does other things of deviation away from Islam, you may avoid saying taslim to him or responding to his taslim by way of discouraging him from that evil. If your doing so will help him trace or retrace his step, if when you disconnect from saying taslim, he will feel uncomfortable, he will not be able to perpetrate that evil, then don't say taslim to him. When he says taslim to you, don't answer to him, so that he does not feel relaxed and comfortable. We had said it. Taslim makes the person to whom you say that taslim to feel comfortable with you. So if that person will have to feel comfortable to perpetrate that evil, then don't say the taslim or don't answer that taslim. All these are known from the rulings of at-taslim. So, but on the other hand, if you are not guilty of innovation and you say taslim to someone who considers you guilty of innovation and the person does not respond, you should still say the taslim. Because one of the Tabi'un was saying to one of his sons who complained of something like this, and he said that one of the companions, radiallahu anhu, the response is that he has, this hadith also occurs in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, we'll come back to it. If you say taslim to a person and he does not answer, Allah raises a person around him. Allah raises in some reports, if I remember well, a malak, an angel near him that responds to you, that tells you wa alaykum as-salam. A companion said that if he does not respond, you say, because Allah raises someone around him that replies your taslim. So you say taslim to someone, like your friend, who is angry with you, for example, assalamu alaykum, and he does not respond. Don't let that deter you. There is someone with him that Allah has raised who will reply to your taslim. So don't let that deter you. If a person thinks that you are upon an innovation and you say a taslim to the person and you are not guilty of, because these days people just think, they feel, then they ascribe you to an innovation even when you are free, or it is something that you fell into out of a mistake, you are not even aware.
And you are someone who, when you are aware that you have fallen into something, you want to retrace your steps out. But we're in a generation where Muslims don't give excuse. We don't give any excuse of, he may not know, let me educate him. There are no such excuses. When there are no even indicators that show that he knows, but he deliberately does what he does. There are no indicators. He just thinks that, I think this person is upon innovation. That's all. He begins to behave to you as someone who is already ruled to be upon an innovation. It is from the aspect of hatred. Some of them come out of sheer jealousy. Some of them are just jealous of you. And then they convert that jealousy to a religious activity. Jealousy, they convert it to a religious activity. They begin to behave to you as if they are defending their deen, Islam. No, they are defending their personal proclivities, which is enshrouded by their jealousy. So those kinds of persons, don't stop to say taslim to them. Say the taslim to them, and don't forget, someone, there's a creature Allah raises around them that will respond to your taslim. So continue to say the taslim whenever the need arose for you to say the taslim, whether such persons answered the taslim or they did not answer the taslim. I hope that that is clear about Amir.
So when you answered one of the previous questions, so we mentioned them, fitan. Someone asked, what's the meaning of fitan?
Fitan is the plural of fitna. That is trial and tribulation. So if you say you fear a fitna, or you fear fitan or fitna from something, you fear trouble, you fear trials, you fear tribulation, you fear evil from that matter, that's why you want to avoid it. That's the meaning of fitna in this sense. Because fitna can mean other things. But in this sense, it means trials, tribulations, things we don't want, you know, problems, and the like of that. Allahu
Akbar. Someone else is asking, what is the proper way to respond to the taslim? We heard some people say, Amin alaykum salam.
Well, there is no proof for saying Amin to taslim. You say taslim and say Assalamu alaykum, it's allowed. You can also say Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. The third one, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. These are the three ways to say taslim. Don't add to it. Don't remove from it. Some people even say salam. Don't say salam. Say salamu alaikum if it is worship, if it is ibadah that you want to do. You want Allah to give you 10 rewards. And each of them is known only to Allah alone. Don't say salams. These days, Muslims, when we write to our brothers, we say salam. Don't say salam. Say salamu alaykum. This is what is legislated and approved that will bring reward from Allah. Some people, when they write, they say SLM. Salam. Or what do they mean? Say it because you'll be rewarded for it. So say salamu alaykum. This is regarding saying. But as for response, you can respond with exactly what the person says. If he says Assalamu alaikum or Salamun alaikum, you can also say Wa alaikum assalam. Just the exact response of what you heard. You can also add Wa rahmatullah, and that is better. If someone says Assalamu alaikum, you can respond and say Wa alaikum assalam Wa rahmatullah. You can even say Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You say it full. Likewise, a person can say Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. It means you can't say less than getting to wa barakatuh in your response. These are the ways we have been taught. But it remains to find a proof that when someone says Salamu alaikum to you, he's first of all say Ameen wa alaikum salam. That, I mean, requires proof. It requires evidence from authentic hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, if someone says salamu alaykum, you should say ameen wa alaykum salam. But this kind of a thing, I have not seen any of the scholars of sunnah mentioning it. If any person mentions it, it is simple. Just bring the hadith that is authentic that affirms it. If there is no authentic hadith that affirms it, stay put to the sunnah. Stay to the sunnah. Remain upon what the Prophet has taught you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't say ameen before you say wa alaykum salam or alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope that is clear about ameen.
Yes, sir. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum. Can we stop this class here today, Abu Amir?
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.